The Tolerant Society, author Lee C. Bollinger. Most of us are probably an easy mark when it comes to assessing the degree to which we take advantage of the opportunity to express our opinions, or for that matter, even to exercise independent thought. But it is also the case that some people may be said to abuse the available liberty by saying publicly things that violate the most basic canons of human decency. The thesis offered here is that free speech has developed new meaning over the course of the last several decades. Enslaved to freedom. The free speech right rests on a number of premises, especially about the nature of language and human psychology. Words cannot always capture for us the sense we may have at the moment of some distinction we think it might be proper to draw. Ambiguous words, like reasonable or dangerous, we create the opportunity for distinctions to be drawn later that we did not originally intend. As with umpires in the game of baseball, we are expected to tolerate an enormous variety of verbal abuse from incensed managers, yet not the slightest physical contact. The question to be considered, then, is whether this second area of apparent incongruity in the web of social rules can be justified. A last major theoretical issue is whether it is sensible to place the authority over the interpretation and enforcement of a free speech principle in the hands of the judiciary. Ultimately, it is only by feeling the nature, and indeed the justice, of the desire to punish speech acts that we will never be able to arrive at a true understanding of the social benefits potentially to be derived from tolerating that behavior. The classical model and its limits. In today's discourse about free speech, the dominant value associated with speech is its role in getting the advancement of knowledge. The principle of free speech plays a practical role for a self-governing society, protecting discussion among the citizens so that they can best decide what to do about the issues brought before them for decision. We must now turn to the problem of assessing the harm from speech. Speech is either entirely innocuous or will be stopped naturally from causing harm when confronted by the truth. Speech may persuade people to do things that are socially undesirable, and it may offend people who find the ideas expressed objectionable. Even free speech theory itself makes rhetorical use of our fundamental concern with the minds of others. We must appreciate the depth and the power of the conflicts people face when confronted with behavior they regard as wrong, immoral, or injurious to others. To conclude that speech activity can cause very serious social harm is not to say that all speech that causes harm ought to be prohibited. The same point works the other way too. The fact that speech can bring valuable benefits does not mean that we ought to restrain ourselves from ever regulating it. The problem is finding the right balance. We might be able to strike a good and proper balance between the potential benefits of speech and the maintenance of other basic values, recognizing that while mistakes would occur. The fortress model and its limits. Speech activity is easily intimidated by the prospect of coercion. The very likely prospect of failure would itself have an inhibiting effect on expression, for given human nature, many people will choose not to exercise their liberty for fear that they would be victims of those systemic failures in an environment in which the state is so inherently antagonistic to the exercise of liberty. In the libertarian literature, the nature of the impulse to intolerance is usually said or thought to rest in the deeper tendency of people to need to believe and to have others believe similarly. The fortress model builds upon an opposite vision of people, that they are moved by irrational impulses and are not to be trusted when it comes to deciding what the limits on speech activity within the society should be. That might raise the question that if the people are incapable of deciding what should be the proper scope of speech activity, why should we place our trust in the open marketplace of ideas about any other issue? The flaw suddenly revealed in discussion over the limits of free speech has a more universal import for our understanding of human behavior. The social need of learning to master or control this impulse that the fortress model identifies seems vast, and may even overwhelm into insignificance its limited appearance in the area of legal controls on speech activity. The quest for the tolerant mind. All the time we face the problem of deciding just what beliefs or values we will demand that others conform to. Of greater importance is the problem of deciding how much to punish behavior that is legitimately within the realm of community control. We might say that when we deal with speech acts, we are dealing with the mind behind the act, or revealed through the act. But to say that is to begin to recognize that we are virtually always concerned with the minds as manifested through behavior, whether it be speech or non-speech behavior. The difficulty of untangling the mental process behind restrictions on speech behavior also means that actual self-restraint may offer the benefits of real-world experience. The internal dialect of tolerance. Tolerance is a complex psychological state, and free speech is a complex enterprise. The center of focus has shifted toward the purpose of creating a zone of unregulated behavior against which we can test and develop a general character of mind through confrontation with that behavior, what may be thought of as the goal of exploring the virtue of tolerance. The two conceptions of negative and positive freedom could be yoked together, the former in service to the latter. How the establishment of a zone or field of negative freedom could become a source or method of striving for some sense of positive liberty. Drawing lines and the virtues of ambiguity. At most points in recent history, the norm and the emphasis have been in the other direction. Religion is regarded as part of the private realm and politics part of the discrete, secular world. When religion seems to be infecting public debate, either because of the strong religious identity of the participants or because of the religious language invoked by those participants, there will typically be, at the very least, expressions of discomfort, of some important line having been crossed. The difficulty with religion, from the standpoint of maintaining a basically peaceful society, is that it is not something people find it easy to talk about. As we look around the world at the major conflicts of the present time, we find that most are rooted in disagreements over religious belief. Searching for the right voice. In the characterization of tolerance and intolerance as opposing ends of a spectrum of good and evil, the former is associated with fearlessness and courage, the latter with timidity and weakness. Such a way of talking about intolerance also blends into a series of implicit assumptions about the limited harmfulness of speech for those who must tolerate it under the free speech principle. In the end, we must not fail to see the genuine nobility of a society that can count amongst its strengths and consciousness of its own weaknesses. The same theory of free speech that instructs us on the ends for which the principle is aimed and provides an aid for its application also provides us with a source of self-criticism, a set of premises about human thought and action that applies every bit as much to free speech disputes as to any other social controversy.